We'll start with a conversation about what's visible when it's not raining, namely the night sky. As you get farther from the ocean, the people get fewer and farther between. So do the trees, and the air gets much drier. That makes parts of Oregon's high desert a perfect place to view the stars at night. Part of Lake County, Oregon, is now within an official dark sky sanctuary, 2.5 million acres, where there's little to block the view of the night sky. And the plans don't stop at just the Lake County part. Bob Hackett is the executive director of Travel Southern Oregon, well involved with the effort, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Bob, welcome back to the Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
It took a few years to get to this point, I understand. Tell us how the idea got started.
Well, it sure did. I've been working on this since 2018 when Travel Oregon had a rural tourism studio out in Lakeview. And those are really designed to work with really rural communities to look at their assets and figure out what kind of destination assets people want to work on and emphasize. One of the facts of being out in Lake County is this night sky truly is a natural asset. And, oftentimes a lot of communities don't necessarily see it that way. And Dark Sky International is an international organization dedicated to fighting light pollution. But it's really found a very productive alliance with a lot of state tourism agencies, state parks, that kind of thing to elevate the destination experience in a truly unique way and also accomplish all the other mission points of really fighting light pollution as it grows more and more across the globe.
So are you saying the folks in Lake County were not really thinking along these lines? Did they kind of take the sky for granted?
Well, yeah, by their own accounts, a lot of them do take it. I mean, they certainly recognize where they live is super dark. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do take that for granted. But the idea of, pulling together, and to get back to your question, it took 5 years because a lot of dark sky places are like national parks, Grand Canyon, Zion, that kind of thing, where there's one landowner. So the light management plan, all the research, all the outreach is done by one entity. There is no state park or national park out in Lake County and beyond there. So what it took was really coming together with the BLM, the Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, ODOT, Department of State Lands, the counties, local businesses, chambers. Everyone needed to agree to a single light management plan. And anyone who's worked with agencies understand these things. They just take time because everything needs to be mission relevant to each of these agencies. And it was time well spent and time. I was happy to have it go slow. It just took that long to get everything done and submitted to Dark Sky International.
Were there some concerns when you started the conversations, when you started talking about light management plan? I can imagine a few people might think you're going to do what now?
Well, yeah, right. The first myth that we always need to bust is it's not a no light movement. It's a good lights movement. And so once people understood, like no one's trying to take away your lights. It's just that let's direct them at the ground. Let's have them be nice, warm lights. Let's have them on timers or, motion detectors. Let's just reduce the pollution impact of your lights and get them where you need them and as much as you need when you need it. And that conversation really, a lot of the agencies that made a lot of sense. And my experience out there talking to all kinds of people, nobody wants to light pollute. A lot of these lights, people move onto properties or they've just been there. They've been there since forever. And so raising the awareness, getting the agencies to agree, we have 10 years to get every light in that 2.5 million acres for all those signatories on the light management plan, 100% dark sky compliant. And Dark Sky International knows that. I mean, it just takes a while to retrofit lights that have been there for decades. And over time, that's the goal. And I think everywhere is going to start to see much better lighting, rural areas, urban areas, as things move forward and people become aware and start asking more from outdoor lighting from their neighbors and from cities and from everybody.
Bob Hackett is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of Travel Southern Oregon. We're talking about the International Dark Sky Sanctuary designation for a big chunk of Lake County, 2.5 million acres. Questions, comments are welcome. We are live. We can take your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So talk about the things you have to do. You mentioned, you know, keep your lights down, that sort of thing. So like those big green lights that we see in a lot of farmyards, what kinds of things have to be done to those?
Well, you know, those, I mean, you know, those old mercury vapor lights, you know, so Kelvin is the warmth of the light. So mm-hmm. to get geeky about it, you know, 2700 Kelvin is the threshold. So anything below that is good, which is means it's amber, it's warmer. Green and blue lights are the things that are trying to be avoided. Very disruptive to wildlife, very impactful on light pollution scenarios. The one thing I do want to point out when you're talking about farmhouses, the that 2.5 million acres that's in the sanctuary boundary, you know, there are the towns of Plush and Adel, and there are, you know, there's lots of private land in there. 85% is public, about 15% is private. Private landowners did not each individually have to sign on to the light management plan to be beholden to the light management plan that governs the sanctuary. That is really through, to your point, one of the key elements to maintain your designation is ongoing public outreach and awareness. And so we are just going to work with people who live there when they have the chance to put up a new light or change out a light, just make sure the resources are there for people to make the kind of choices that are going to help make the outback darker, not brighter.
Seems like with LEDs and timers and motion-sensitive things, it's like the array of stuff available for this now is quite extensive.
It is, but it's also never been cheaper to light it up, right? LEDs are super, super cheap, and a lot of folks, you know, get them and point them out, and they're designed to be pointed down. And so, to your point, Home Depot now is a vendor with Dark Sky International, right? So that's the good news, is that it's becoming more mainstream. And honestly, it's truly an awareness thing. And over time, like, our kids are going to see better lighting. I just know it, because nobody likes glare in their eyes. Nobody likes neighbors' lights just pouring into their window. And we can all do something about it. And unlike a Superfund site, right, light pollution is 100% immediately reversible. And so that's the good news.
So, Bob, talk about this from a tourism guy's perspective. I mean, it's, you know, we're usually, when we talk about amenities in a place, what we're really talking about here is the absence, you know, the absence of human habitation and the things that they bring with it.
Well, that's right. And going back to that rural tourism studio, you start looking at a destination and its assets. And in my world, tourism management, destination management is something we think about a lot. And regenerative tourism is a phrase that we use more and more. And that is really looking at how does the work we do as tourism professionals leave a place better for the work that we're doing, for the visitors that are coming, for the residents who live there, for all the life that lives there. And when you start putting those all together, taking this opportunity in the work to put Oregon A on the map in terms of a dark sky place, because most Oregonians have no idea that a third of the state, that whole, you know, Lake, Malheur, Harney counties, this is the biggest contiguous pristine night sky left in the United States, period. And it's like having the Grand Canyon in your state. And it just takes the work to elevate that asset. But by doing that in the regenerative sense, clearly we're helping, you know, wildlife biologists at the Heart Mountain National Refuge. This works for them. You know, people, all kinds of, you know, conservation, saving energy, and leaving a Western night sky, a starry night sky heritage, culturally, this culture of ranching and indigenous folks have been there for millennia. They have kept this resource pristine, and we're going to be able to do that and actually make improvements on what's there. So as a destination, 75% of the people in the world cannot see the Milky Way where they live.
Wow.
So if you think about everyone coming from an urban area in the U.S., how about Asian visitors? How about European visitors? Folks who just have not seen a pure, pristine night sky. When you add this opportunity to their Oregon experience, the coast, going the Bend, going down the river, going to Shakespeare, when you add this other element to it, you increase economic impact from tourism, but to my mind, we do it in a very healthy way and in a very community-appropriate way.
Bob Hackett,
as you said, but there's not a lot of infrastructure out there, so it's a pretty remote experience. So we're not looking to send bazillion visitors out into Lake County, and it needs to be appropriate.
Well, that was the next question was, and we're talking to Bob Hackett from Travel Southern Oregon about the Dark Sky Sanctuary in Lake County. So the next question then is like, so you want to encourage people to be out there, but they're going to drive out there with their shiny new cars with their bright headlights. So there's some things you have to think about there too, don't you?
We break it out and we think of it as, you know, you got the gateway communities, you got Lakeview, Paisley, Summer Lake, Burns, Silver Lake has the Cowboy Dinner Tree. There's places for people who want to stay in hotels and have great food. And then, you know, in the evening, like you say, drive out and have that experience. And then there's also the BLM and the Forest Service have so many campsites and cabins for rent, beautiful cabins on Drake's Peak, on the Fremont Point overlooking Summer Lake, on the Winter Rim. So there's a huge variety of experiences. There's a lot of great RV parks out there with lots of wide open space and people being able to view it. So there is infrastructure right now for people to go out and enjoy it, but we really do need people, like you said, to be prepared. That shiny new car, it's really going to help if it's you sort of got four wheel and you've got some water and you know where you are, because it is remote if you start getting off-road out there.
You mentioned 10 years to get all the lights compliant under the lighting management plan. Now, that is just the Lake County portion. You want to take this bigger than Lake County, though, don't you?
Well, you know, the door is open for that to happen. And the reason I'm equivocating a little bit is because it's a complicated issue. The reason Lake County, the sanctuary is in Lake County is because the partners in Lake County and Lake County itself, the commissioners came together and did the work we needed to do. There are certainly the sky is dark over lots of other places, Dean's Mountain and the Owyhee Country. What needs to happen in those places is communities need to come together and agree that this is something they want to be a part of. And a lot of that work needs to happen at that community level. The door is open with Dark Sky and with the Outback Sanctuary to expand. All the framework is there. What needs to happen is community work needs to happen to bring those partners on board.
Now, is it true, Bob, at 2.5 million acres, Oregon's Dark Sky Sanctuary is the biggest in the world?
Correct.
Wow.
And that's, you know, and let's just, if you play it out, phase two and three, you get lots of Harney, lots of Malheur County, you're at 11 million acres. So, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, but that's going to be a while down the road. And like I said, there's work to be done. But yes, Oregon, Southern Oregon, we have the largest Dark Sky Sanctuary in the world.
And so talk about your own trips out there. You've experienced this. I mean, can you remember a real inky black night when the stars were just like right there to touch?
Yeah. It's a little, you know, I mean, for those of people who've seen it, it's not necessarily, at first glance, it's not really a relaxing experience because there's so much going on up there. it's a lot to take in. I do go out a lot because you can't just say you're dark. You have to prove you're dark. And there's the scientific way, and there's sky quality meters. So I've been monitoring three of those for the past 4 years, every 3 months, download the data. It takes a snapshot every 5 minutes, 24/7. And so, you know, that's sort of the science part of it is you have to be dark enough to be a sanctuary, and you have to prove it. So I have been out there a lot, and, you know, I love going out there every time I go out there. It's wonderful. And then when you talk to people who live out there, they really do, you know, they value this about the place they live. And it's one of the things they love about living out there.
It's pretty incredible. 2.5 million acres, making the largest dark sky sanctuary designated such in the world. That is all in Lake County, as you heard from Bob, a chance to expand eventually to Harney and Malheur counties as well. The door is open, as Bob said. Bob's the executive director of Travel Southern Oregon, put in several years already in getting the Dark Sky International designation for this Dark Sky Sanctuary. Bob, congratulations, and thanks for sharing it with us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Really appreciate it. Love being with you.
Okay, take it easy.